This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Set me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us. And this week, we are in Italy again, continuing our conversation with Dan Weens, and you can listen to last week's show on our website at blazinggrace.org or Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And so Dan last week shared a story, and Dan Weens is the director of Liberate in Cristo, which is a ministry organization here in Italy that helps the sexually broken men, women, couples. They do counseling. They lead groups. He has been a good friend of mine for 10 years. So, Dan, welcome back to the program.
Thanks. It's nice to be here.
Tell us a little bit about LIC and what you find yourself doing these days.
So, Liberate in Cristo is a ministry that helps people with porn and sex addiction. We try to help especially men that are struggling with these issues. We have a website, and so people will find out about it. And we've also shipped out leaflets throughout Christians all over Italy to make this ministry more known. And we have published various books of yours, Mike, five of them, and they're a helpful resource for men who are struggling, for the wives who need to deal with their husbands in this addiction, for couples that are trying to heal up after what has happened. And we're also involved in starting up groups of men, both in presence and online. So right now we have a group here in my home area, which is between Modena and Bologna. We have a group in Milan. We have a group in Padova, which is near Venice. And then we have a group also in Ticino, which is in the Italian part of Switzerland. And Lord willing, after a men's meeting that will take place at the beginning of December in Turin, in Torino, we hope to start a men's group there too. Besides that, we also have an online group meeting twice a week. So for the guys that are coming from areas where there's no in-presence meeting, they can also they have a chance to participate there. So we also are involved with in speaking at churches or at conferences on this subject. My wife also speaks to parents on how to speak about porn to their children, and we use the resource Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, which has been translated into Italian for that. And yes, we have a big heart for couples where there has been a lot of hurt, you know, due to sexual betrayal, and we really try to help these couples out to somehow make it through what's happened to them.
For perspective for our listeners, what is the population of Italy?
It's about 60 million people.
And relative size of the evangelical or Christian church to that population?
It's about 1-1.5%.
So it's pretty small then.
Yes, yes.
And in comparison, how about the size of the Catholic Church?
Well, that's a kind of tricky question, because there's a lot of Italians that are nominal Catholics, but they don't attend Mass. And so many Italians are baptized as infants, and then they receive the First Communion and Confirmation, but then maybe they won't get married in the Catholic Church. So people that regularly attend Mass, I would say that would be between 10 to 15%.
So with the church here, the Christian church, being around 1% of the population, do you tend to have to stand up more in your faith than perhaps another culture where half the country is supposedly Christian, like in the States? Meaning, is there a greater cost?
I don't know. It's hard to say, because the Catholic Church has had a positive influence in a certain way as far as Christian values. For example, abortion is seen bad throughout the society, pretty much. And other Christian values, where in Northern Europe or in the States, are a big issue, like LGBTQ issues or other issues like that, they're not as much a problem here in Italy. They are a little bit, but the Catholic Church still has a strong influence over society, even still over the government. And so there's not that type of persecution that one maybe could think of in that there is in other countries, or maybe even in the States, where maybe you can't pray, or, you know, where maybe in some states you have really a hard time to stand up for your Christian values. Here in Italy, that doesn't happen so much.
First time I met you around 2016, I never forget. We were just talking about the church at large in the U.S., where you lived for a while, and here in Italy, and then you very bluntly said that in the U.S. we have a lot of nominal believers. Speak to that.
Well, I think that in the U.S., there's a lot of people that just kind of go to church and maybe just go through the motions, but don't have a vibrant relationship with the Lord. And so with Jesus, and they would not be, maybe they wouldn't even define themselves maybe Jesus followers or disciples of Christ. And so I tend to see that in the U.S. there's this habit or tendency to maybe attend these mega churches where there's these, you know, where you just kind of go to a show, where you have the worship band, you have the preacher, and if you're not plugged into a kind of a cell group or a small home group, family group, you really can just, you know, go through the motions but not really have spiritual disciplines and really develop a strong relationship with the Lord.
So what's missing?
Well, I think, like my friend Mike Janung says, probably prayer is missing a lot. I think that should be encouraged more in the churches, in local churches, and also in cell groups, and also personally, to really be able to have this intimate relationship with the Lord that only comes through digging in the Bible, getting to know God in an intimate way, and praying, and perhaps, you know, going on retreats on your own and just spending time alone with God, listening to Him. I think that's what's missing.
So kind of a mindset that, God, I want you.
Yes.
I'm hungry for you. I'm going after you 7 days a week, not 1 hour on Sunday.
Amen. Yes, exactly.
So what kind of struggles do you see happening here in the Italian church? Let's just start with spiritual abuse.
Well, yes, spiritual abuse is quite a big problem here in Italy, because the elders and pastors of small these churches tend to be very jealous of their sheep, of the people that come to their church, and so they tend to want to really control them, control their minds, control what they do, and they don't want them to attend other churches, and sometimes they'll even downplay reading Christian books because they just want them to read the Bible and only listen to their messages so that then they can control their thinking. And so that has been, and it still is, a really, really big issue of these Christian leaders just wanting to completely control the lives of the Christians that attend their church.
So what is spiritual abuse by a pastor who's trying to control his flock look like on a personal level?
Well, kind of like what I mentioned before, it basically is like you're told that you need to always attend that local church. You should never attend any other church. And if you kind of dissent in any way from what he believes in, that tends to get really downplayed. And you just feel like if you are not completely doing what he says in the way that he's interpreted the Bible, then you're really you're not following the Lord, and you're just a distant Christian.
So what happens, let's say somebody goes to a pastor like this with a struggle with pornography or adultery, then what might that look like?
Well, there could be a lot of different types of reactions, but some of them could just be, you know, where they tell the person, you just need to quit that, and you just need to stop it without giving any practical advice. It doesn't happen everywhere. I mean, there'll be cases where there'll be help, but a lot of times these leaders don't really know how to handle the issue, and so they will just tell the person to stop. Or I've known some people where they've told the wife that she needs to be somehow more willing to have sex with the husband that's struggling with porn, almost giving the fault to the wife that he's struggling with that.
Hmm. It was around 2017 or 18, you and I went and spoke to a church in the South. Maybe it was Naples, I don't remember. It was a church of around 700. And I remember as we're driving there, I asked God, what do you want me to speak on, and he said, father wounds. And at first I was like, father wounds? But he kept confirming it. So you were there. I gave the message and broke people up to share, men with men, women with women. And I remember just seeing a lot of women just crying and sobbing and hugging, and that really hit a deep nerve. And I also remember two guys looking at the two of us, because you translated for me, looking like they wanted to rush the stage and kill us. And then you told me later, you explained that there's a paternalistic influence here in the culture, where the father is kind of like a, I'm not going to use, this isn't the right word, but kind of like a godlike figure, and the pastor is a godlike figure. So even if they're wrong or abusive, you don't cross them.
Yes, it's exactly that.
So talk more about that.
Yeah, there's just especially in southern Italy, a little bit less here in northern Italy, but there is this problem where, you know, children must completely do exactly what the father says. If not, they might even be, you know, punished even physically or, punished in many different ways. And so there's There has to be this complete submission to the Father. This is more something from the past and is more prevalent in southern Italy, but it still exists in a little bit even in northern Italy too.
Does that mean dads don't apologize if they hurt at their kids?
No, there's a tendency to not apologize for anything.
Does that bleed into the pastoral role too?
Probably a lot, yes, quite often. I would say that a lot of pastors or elders would not be willing to apologize to somebody in their church.
Mm. We live in a time, and this really grieves me a lot, when a lot of people are falling away from the faith for a lot of different reasons. They lose hope, or maybe the enemy hits them with a lie that God isn't there, or circumstances get tough, and we see a lot of people walking away from the faith in the U.S., and sometimes even publicly. What do you see here regarding this in Italy?
Well, we already have very few born-again believers, but we do have some people that have walked away from the faith, people that have just been disappointed. There may be because they've seen Christian leaders maybe disappoint them, and they've looked to them maybe more than looking to God. And so because of this disappointment, they've just completely left the church. And I think that also maybe even a little bit what happened in the States, it happened here too during COVID, where there was a lot of conflict between Christians on what they thought in regards to vaccines or other things. And that really created division in the church, and that shocked some people and scandalized them. And I think some people even, you know, left the church because of that. There's a lot of different issues that have caused people to leave. Maybe we haven't had the big numbers percentage-wise like you've had in the States, just because we're already a very small minority here in Italy. So I think most people have kept the faith, but it is an issue. Where some people have abandoned that.
And as I've watched this, I've asked myself the question, have we been doing enough to prepare people for this dark time when the enemy is given free rein in a lot of places and darkness is all over? I mean, it's spreading like a blanket, and prayer becomes even more critical, and spiritual warfare and equipping people in those areas is critical. Are we doing enough in those areas?
No, we're probably not. I think that we need to be a lot more involved in prayer, in spiritual warfare, in prayer that is really, how can you say, where we're really actively engaging with God. I feel like we're just kind of going through the motions, and we're just getting very lazy here in the Western world, where we just think, you know, everything's okay, and we're taken up by everything that is in the world and society, especially with smartphones and social networks and all that. It's just taking so much time and so much energy. And instead, we seem to be spending less and less time in our relationship with God and dedicating that quality time with Him, and at the same time also spending time with other believers, and really using those spiritual weapons that God has given us in order to be able to combat these dark forces that we do see in the world.
I think that's a good point you make about how we invest our time is critical right now, and the average American will spend 5 hours a day on their smartphone. And so if we're spending, and I saw another number that said that the average American will spend 5 minutes a day in prayer. That's not going to get it done, is it?
No, it sure isn't.
And I ask myself, why aren't we warning people? Why aren't we saying, hey, nominal or lukewarm or comfort-driven Christianity is not working. It is failing miserably. Why are we not challenging people in these areas? Why are we not warning people we're in this great time of the falling away? And oh my gosh, you can't afford to just play games with this right now.
Right. You're right.
So with you, what you do with Liberati in Christo, you're a frontline ministry. I'm sure you encounter spiritual warfare. What does that look like for you?
Very good question. Yes, I've seen that happen a lot in the last few years, especially because I've seen how right before Angela and I need to go and speak at a conference or speak at a church or help a couple, it seems like we get into fights, and I especially, having a little bit of anger issue, I will get mad at her, angry with her, and it seems like this happens always right before a ministry appointment. And so I'm really trying to learn to really pray a lot before these ministry appointments, because I know that the enemy is not happy that we're going and talking about this. And I also have a whole network of people that pray for us. And I was taught to do that by you, and I'm thankful for that. And I see, though, how that their prayer is really supporting us and helping us. And because it is a tough fight.
The time you have left, speak to the man struggling with porn or sexual sin right now. Give him two or three major keys to beginning his road to recovery.
Well, I would say, first of all, you need to recognize that you have a problem and you need to talk about it. That means you need to be vulnerable and let down your shame, and go to somebody, a counselor or some kind of ministry with whom you can talk about this issue. And then I would encourage you to also find another guy with whom you can be accountable to, a guy that at least in the first 90 days you will be in touch with him every day, and where you will share your heart with him, where you're at, what you're doing, and a guy that cares enough for you that if you don't show up, if you're not there with him, that he will kind of come after you. And so, and then, you know, I would just also remove all the obstacles that you find in your life that are causing you to sin, that are causing you to fall. It may be even removing a smartphone and just getting a dumb phone. It may be removing a TV or removing the cable, your cable subscription or whatever. Anything that is causing you to fall, you need to just remove that.
Okay. 60 seconds. Anything you want to say to the audience?
Okay. Well, I think that we all need to just really seek out God in this moment, in this dark moment. I would encourage all of you and myself to dedicate time every day in praying, in reading the Word, and engaging with other believers. I think that it's important also to get your priorities straight. And I'm saying that to myself too. Let's spend less time on social networks, less time on our smartphones, and spend more time with the people that we care about, like our wives, our kids, our family, and just remember who's the most important in our lives.
I agree, brother. Thank you for joining me. It's been great. And thank you, my friends, for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.